Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour call hosted by Priti Patel. My name is Trudy and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to hand over to Priti. Thank you, please go ahead.
Thanks, Trudy. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Safety Hour today. I just really wanted to conduct the Safety Hour in twofold today. The first is really to go through some general numbers, go through how we're getting on with accidents and close calls in particular. And then secondly, I'd like to go through Golden Hour. I'm mindful we had a telephone conference yesterday. Some of you may have been on the telephone conference yesterday to go through Golden Hour. And I'd just like to use today as another opportunity to talk through what Golden Hour is, the process, and maybe answer any more questions that you may have. So, in terms of general numbers and how we're getting on. So, generally for harm, over the last week, so the first week of the period, one member of our team was injured on the route. The injury was a manual handling injury, so similar trend to the types of injuries that we are aware of. And it was an individual who pulled a muscle while they were pulling 29 metres of a cable from a drum. And the activity being undertaken is an activity that requires six individuals to pull the cable as required. And as the individuals were pulling the cable, the injured person twisted, and it meant that their back went into spasm and they had extreme difficulty trying to stand or to move. The individual was taken to hospital at the time for immediate treatment. So in regards to what happened, a go-look-see and a reconstruction is being undertaken this week. And the delivery unit is an EC delivery unit. The delivery unit are now looking at manual aids to try and see what can we do to prevent having to undertake the activity in the first instance. Of course, the best possible cause or best possible prevention of an injury is to try and eliminate the activity in the first instance. So the DU are now looking at any mechanical aids that can support us in pulling cable from drums. But of course, having gone through this incident and having had a chat with a number of the teams, this is an activity that is undertaken on a regular basis. It's an activity undertaken by many of our teams. And the question for us now is, whilst it may have been going on for a number of years, it's the way we've always done it, is it the right way? Is it the way that we want to continue with the activity? Does it bode well in what we're trying to do in reducing loss? Injuries to our teams, does it bode well in what we're trying to do with manual handling? And we're now picking up this particular activity, as with a number of other activities in the overall lost time injury and workforce accident plan. Because ultimately, the aim is to try and reduce harm to our team. And so far this year, six members of our team have been harmed so significantly it's resulted in time away from work, but more probably importantly is that we've injured over 30 of our team. So over 30 people were two and a bit periods over 30 of our teams have been injured in some form or another. And our aspiration continues to be a reduction in harm, and if we carry on in the same trajectory, and we are likely to harm more people this year than we had done last year. And that is certainly not something that we aspire to. We want to continue to reduce harm. So the question is really looking at the activities that may seem the norm, or may seem that this is how we've always done it, but challenge ourselves and say, is this the right way? Is there something else we could do? Is there another way of undertaking an activity? So I know many of you and the teams have developed personal action plans to try and help us with a reduction in workforce harm, and I'd also encourage you to make sure that you're delivering those actions and you're working through them, because ultimately the main purpose of this is to make sure that everyone does go home safe every day, as our vision states, and to reduce the number of people harmed on our route. So that's in terms of workforce accidents, a huge challenge ahead of us, but also the way I see it is that there's a lot of opportunity. There's lots of things, also things that we could do differently. There's lots of opportunities that we can say, actually, this isn't how we want to do something now. And it's for all of us to try and identify those, spot them, and then work with our teams to try and introduce possible controls. So how are we doing with close calls? So we know that close calls are precursor to our accidents. So the more close calls we can spot and the more close calls we can then close out should help us to reduce the harm. So it's reducing the hazards, which then ultimately could reduce an accident. So we know close calls is a precursor. And how are we getting on with close calls? Well, close calls reported, we're doing really well. Our teams are continuing to spot hazards. They're continuing to report them. Close calls reported last week was 87, which is fantastic. So we're doing a great piece of work on spotting the hazards. And the closure rate, we seem to be doing okay. We 80% of our closed calls are closed within 90 days, which is fantastic. So the key is to close the closed calls to prevent the hazard from being realised. We do, however, continue to have a backlog on really old closed calls. So closed calls that were raised some time ago and that are well over 28 days. I urge you all to really review the closed calls over 28 days. And we're now looking at just over 500 that are closed calls that are open. So these are things that your teams have raised and have spotted as a hazard, and yet they haven't been closed, or where we can't close them, there hasn't been any indication to say that the risk has been mitigated or minimized. Some of the closed calls are really big, they require possession, they need to be booked in, and it can take some time to close them, which is fine, and that could be captured in the closed call event itself. But is there anything else we could do in the meantime? Is there anything we can do to protect the teams from the hazard whilst we wait for items to be closed? And also, the closed calls that are open, are we confident that they are still open? Has there been a review? So I'd urge you all to, whilst encouraging closed calls to be reported, we need to know about these hazards, but also have a look at the closures and also see whether the teams can help and whether closed calls could be closed real time. There's quite a few closed calls that we noticed that actually could have been closed whilst the report was made. So again, I would encourage your teams to see whether a closed call could be closed as it's raised. Because of course that then means we immediately stop that hazard, or we immediately remove the hazard and stop harm from occurring. That was really an overview of our accidents and our closed calls. And I think at this point, I just welcome any questions before I move on to Golden Hour.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. There are no questions at the moment, Pretty.
Okay, that's fine. So I'll move on to Golden Hour. And of course, if anybody has any questions after the call, feel free to contact me or any of the safety team with a question that you might have after. So I'm going to move on to Golden Hour. So I really just want you to walk through what is Golden Hour, why we're introducing Golden Hour, the benefits of it, and just talk a little bit through the process. So the Golden Hour is our defined response during the first hour following an accident or a near miss. It's a criteria set out to support us to take immediate action following a report of somebody being harmed. And the Golden Hour also has a requirement for additional updates to be provided after 6 and 24 hours. And I'll talk through what that means and what that looks like in a few moments. And in regards to some background, I'm just going to talk through where the golden hour came from and the reason for introducing the golden hour. So the golden hour itself forms part of our aspiration to reduce harm. So as a route, we have a workforce safety improvement plan, and the plan includes a lot of the items that we know causes harm. So things like manual handling, slip, trips and falls, safe use of certain equipment and road risk. The plan, however, also includes how we investigate and respond to accidents. And the golden hour is designed to complement our existing accident investigation process. And as I go through the process, you will notice that some of the things are things that you may be doing already. And you think, well, actually, my teams and I do that. And this, the golden hour is there to provide a framework and a structure with some of the responses that we have in the first hour. So what is the golden hour? So as I said, it's a structured framework of response in the first hour following a report of an accident. And this is very much reliant on a report of accident being undertaken real time. The golden hour we know is as soon as an accident or an illness occurs, the first hour is critical in really understanding what's happened, but also critical in providing the right care for the injured person, making sure that the responsibility we have for duty of care of the individual is undertaken, and making sure that the right actions are being undertaken to support the individual. When there are accidents that are reported late, we lose that opportunity. However, the principles of golden hour can still carry on, and I'll talk through where that would be and how. So why are we introducing the golden hour? Well, for us, it's two key reasons. The first key reason is about the care and the assistance that we provide to our team. It's really making sure that it's the right care, it's appropriate, but the main thing is that it's put in quickly and effectively. And we know, generally on the large, with most accidents, the care provided is fantastic, it's appropriate, it's the right level of care. But we also have had examples where the care provided hasn't been, and on reflection, hasn't been quite the right level of care. So, for example, we've had some significant incidents where the injured person has been driven home alone. Do we know whether that was the right thing for the individuals? Has it been assessed? When questioned whether they should have driven home, we're unable to demonstrate that we've assessed that decision. And we've also had instances where there's been a number of days before we've known how the individual is. So an individual may go home and then we have no idea as to how they're getting on or how severe their injury is. So this is the first point about golden hour, is to really understand and the level of care that's being provided for the individual. The second reason for golden hour is to start the investigation process as quickly and effectively as we possibly can. So we know by investigating incidents, we can learn from them and stop things from happening again. That's the whole point. If we get the investigation right, if we can really understand what the root causes are, really understand why some things happen, we can try and stop it from happening, not just in that location, but across the route. So starting the investigation is critical. We know we have some investigations that are still 12 months old, or still takes far too long to complete. It takes far too long to understand what's happened. And a lot of the reasons for that length of time is just trying to gather the evidence, trying to understand what's happened. And by starting the investigation process quickly, it means that things are fresh in people's minds, we can gather evidence, and that should then hopefully mean we don't have to hang around for an investigation for 12 months. It completely defeats the object of an investigation, and we lose the learning, and we also then lose the opportunity to prevent something. Of course, there might be some immediate learning, but underlining and root cause learning is not is not available for us for long periods of time. So the two key reasons for the golden hour is the care and assistance that we provide to our team, but and secondly, to start the investigation process as quickly as possible. So what is the process and what does that mean? So this is where we get into the nitty-gritty of the golden hour. And I sent out some packs, a key point card, across yesterday to many of you. But in essence, there's some key things that we would require to be undertaken in the first hour, and then at 6 hours, and then at 24 hours. So in the first hour, what are we expecting? What do we wish to see following an accident? So the first hour, firstly, is that the accident's reported. And that report should be made into the WIC. Also, within that first hour, we need to quickly identify who is going to be on site taking the lead. And who is the person that's going to be looking after that individual on site? Who is the person that's going to undertake any immediate action to remove any hazards? Who is the one that may be taking the individual to hospital and providing possibly first aid or making the first aid arrangements? So that's an on-site lead. It's somebody that is generally with the individual at that time. So if, say, for example, it's a team, one of our track gangs, it could be a team leader who's an on-site lead. But if, of course, the team leader is the individual that's had the accident, the on-site lead could be a technician or an operative. It's somebody that's just going to is on-site at the time of the incident. Within that first hour, we also assign a responsible manager. And this responsible manager could be on site, or they may not be. They may be at the other end of the phone. But they are of a supervisory or a management grade, and their responsibility is to support the on-site lead with the duty of care that's provided to the individual. They will there help collect and develop the care plan. There's a number of activities that they will sense check have been undertaken. So things like the hazard, does it need to be reported? Does it need to be logged? Does somebody else need to go back? They'll start looking at whether anybody is going to stay with them in hospital, if that individual does need to go to hospital. But there's a responsible manager also assigned within that first hour who will work with the on-site lead. So then you move on to the 6 hours. What happens at 6 hours? So between 1 and 6 hours, the responsible manager maintains that duty of care for the individual. So they should stay up to date as to how the individual is getting on, how the site may be, whether the hazard is still in place. They'll also undertake a reassessment of the injury and also provide any further medical assistance if necessary. They could also start looking about medical referrals, and also the individual is taken to hospital, may still be in hospital. So do they need some support? Do somebody need to collect them? How is the individual generally at 6 hours? Most of the accidents we know, so of the 30 that we've had so far, 5 of them have been far more serious. So we know that majority of them, of the accidents, somebody has an injury and you're able to carry on back at work. And that's fantastic, but the responsible manager still needs to double check that that is still the case, because sometimes an injury may aggravate, it may get worse, so we just need to sense check that if that individual is still okay. And then they provide another update to the control centre just to advise them on the status at 6 hours. And then at 24 hours, the expectation is that the responsible manager has handed over the duty of care to the line manager. So this is where the line manager should be fully appraised of what's happened. They should start owning that care plan. And of course, the responsible manager in the first hour may be the line manager also, but they may have been an on-call manager. They may have been a section supervisor. So within 24 hours, we should hand over to the line manager, or if the line manager is unavailable on annual leave, who is their designated deputy? You hand over to the designated deputy. That line manager will then again reassess the injury, undertake any other referrals, but really it's just checking how is my team member, how are they getting on, are they still okay? And then they provide a further update to control. So there's the key principles at 1 hour, 6 hour, and 24 hours. So hopefully the slide packs, the key point card, the aid memoirs that were issued helps to go through that. If there's any queries on those, let us know. And what we're doing over the next 4 weeks is I'm chairing a telephone conference every week, just so we can go through the golden hour. And I would very much welcome any questions as you get yourself more familiar with the pack and the process. And of course, your feedback on how we can tweak the golden hour, how we can improve it. And like I said at the beginning, I think many of you will see the golden hour and think, well, this is something that I do already. This is something that we're always mindful of in terms of the care for the individual. We're also always mindful of the hazards that are out on site. So it's things that you may already be doing, and that's fantastic. And I encourage you to carry on with that. Hopefully the golden hour just supports you with the framework. And we're also going to be talking more about this at Drawing Safety Hour as well, just to get some feedback on how everyone's getting on. So that's a whistle-stop tour of the golden hour while we're rolling out the benefits, so we went through the process, and just to give you some background. I think it'd be useful, Trudy, at this point, if anybody has any questions about either the golden hour or the overview that was provided earlier.
Thank you, Pretty. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name, and then press the hash key. Thank you. Pretty, there are no questions at this time.
Okay, that's fine then. So thank you all for joining us on the safety hour. And please, I encourage you now to start the cascade process for the golden hour. Use the material that's been provided. And any questions, feel free to call me or drop me a note. Thank you. Thanks all.
Thank you, Pretty. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.